If we ever had a family movie, it's probably that one about how 9/11 was an inside job.
And I looked over at him, and he looked over at me with his whiskey, and he goes, "When boys were bloody men."
Give him a call. And he's like, "Yeah, I'm in Ohio." And he said it so casually. He said it like, "Yeah, I'm going to be a little late. I'm just going to need to go to Canada real quick." Fuck you, Dad!
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of F You Dead. You know what it is, baby. This episode, we don't have a guest. It's the old crew.
Just dead. You and me, baby. You and me.
Yeah, it's like a comfy shoe, a comfy old shoe that you don't put on a lot, but when you do, you
the reunion tour.
Yeah. We don't have a guest. I had my hard drive shit the bed, and it deleted the episode that was going to be for today. So we're professionals. We're going to keep on time. We're just going to shoot the shit, and it's going to be fucking great.
I like how our worst case scenario is just us talking to each other, which is the premise of the podcast. Like, our worst case scenario is just the standard premise of the podcast.
We tried to get other people.
You're like, I was avoiding talking to Kenyon one-on-one for about a month now. I had a good month run of not talking to Kenyon one-on-one. But then my computer exploded. There were other circumstances. God intervened. And now I am stuck talking to this asshole one-on-one. So bear with me, folks. Yeah. Going to be a rough 30, but we're going to get through it. We'll be back to guests.
But, you know, there's been stuff popping off. I'm here visiting my folks actually right now in North Carolina.
You're in ground zero. You're in ground crazy zero. Ground zero territory. Yeah. You're like in Fallujah of dad memories.
And they just got back from Australia. And whenever they get back from a long trip or even any trip, it's literally all they can and all they want to talk about. So it's like, I feel like bringing up stuff like, yeah, go ahead.
I just feel like half of a trip, half the money you spend for a trip is like, well, now this is my personality for the next 6 to 8 months. I've never met a person that has gone on a big trip that's not just been like, hey, so how you doing? They're like, well, the thing about Spain, and then they just keep going into your face. And then it's like every second they're like, have you been to Japan? Oh no, I forgot you have. And they just keep pummeling you with this. It can't just be, it's like all these photos of like, and here's another one of not you, and here's another one of your job's too shitty to ever afford this, and just throw it in your face.
Here's a picture of me not thinking about you, and then here's another picture of me not texting you, and then it's crazy what they'll do, because I'll be like, we were just talking about lunch. I was like, my mom was like, what do you want for lunch? And I was like, I'm probably just gonna make myself a sandwich. And she was like, you know, in Australia they have these things. And I my head just goes, because I get so like,
listen, you didn't go to Africa constant. It's probably, I imagine, the same cuisine in Australia. What, they also have bread? Don't break my brain. They have bread and deli meat in Australia. You did go on a safari, right? I mean, it's pretty much the same thing with universal healthcare. They have like a different accent. You know what I mean? It's like you went to fucking Minnesota or something.
No, it's British with a rock to the head, kind of.
Right. It's like a British rednecks.
But man, that's all they talk about. And then the first day, so it's me and my girlfriend we're visiting. Mm-hmm. And the first day, that's a tough visit. It is. It's intense, you know, because I'm like,
the relationship's on trial. You're on trial, you know.
It's a trial.
It's an audit. This is a life audit.
And there's moments, you know, when like I can hear that I'm out of the conversation. It's just my girlfriend and my parents.
That's bad.
It feels like
that's the enemy's commiserating. Yeah, it's the axis of evil right there.
Like a science experiment where I've got like beaker A and beaker B, and people are like, don't let them mix together. And then, you know, I see like my kid in my group is just like mixing them into a blender and like just turning that shit on high. That's what it feels like.
It's like, what if I combine the two people that always neg and have problems with me in one area? Just as like a convention of people who are disappointed in Nick Cartwright. You know what I mean?
Exactly. As long as I can keep them talking about Australia and not complaining about me, then we're good. That's the only time I want.
Actually, that's why the trip is good, because you could just hard deflect to this trip.
Yes.
Whenever they're asking, like, so how much does your current job pay? And you're like, well, it's not. If you probably adjust for Australian wages, you know, you just really just hone in on that trip.
You know what's awful too? This is what happened is so I have to do a job where I call people. I'm, you know, data, whatever.
Right.
And so I'm calling people in the, I use the family computer to work.
Using your family computer to do telemarketing.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think it was more dignified when you were using it to just jerk off. I think that would, that had more dignity. Yeah.
I felt less shame when I was doing that.
Yeah.
Than what I'm doing now. And now my parents heard my customer service voice.
Oh no.
And it's so funny. So I'm like talking to customers or whatever, and I hang up, and my mom comes into the office and she goes, "You know, you never sound that nice when you talk to me." I'm like, yeah, these customers actually listen to what I have to say.
Oh, mom, you just try.
You're
also like, well, also my rent isn't on the line when I talk to you, Jenna. Yeah. I'm never on the verge of starving to death because of a 3-minute interaction with you, you know?
Exactly. So that's been weird because they also know how much I don't work, how much it's bullshit. Cause they're like, that's your job.
They're onto the scheme. You revealed the curve. Damn, you can't be doing that, Nick. You got to start using big words. You got to start talking about synergy and company mission. And you should say this. I'm just trying to hit Q1 goals. You just want to start saying like, you want to start really just throw office lingo to make it sound like you're like a CFO and not that essentially like a day away from being automated, which is the truth for both of us. So,
Yeah, I just got to be in there. I won't even have the phone to my ear, but I'm like, we got to look at the profits for this.
Have a lot of pie charts on your screen. Just have like a straight up wallpaper that is just pie charts. And that's what you need.
No, Mom, I'm not gambling on sports. I'm getting this company off the ground here.
Yeah.
That's such a weird combination of worlds that we have to just adjust to, just to be like doing my job and then having my mom be like, "Well, did they want to sign up for your website?"
You're being like audited by your mom every call. That sucks so hard. Yeah. You already got your boss on your back, and now you got like your original boss, which is like your mom on your back, and you're like, "Can I just have some goddamn peace?
Can I just bullshit? I just run a scam?
Yeah, can I just
run a scam?
Can no one just barely just get through, do the bare minimum to get through the next day anymore? Can no one just do that? Can no one just kind of waltz through life?"
So the first day we're here, right, the power goes out because we flew in on Friday. So this is Saturday. There's this huge ice storm.
Mm-hmm.
And the power goes out at like 10 in the morning, and it doesn't come back until 7 p.m. So that's 9 hours of
no power in your bear. I'm surprised that you guys didn't kill each other.
Just raw conversation. It got to a point where everyone in the house was like, "Let's just sleep because we're done." we talked about us.
I really love that where you guys are like, "Let's just try to dream a better scenario. Let's try to imagine that there's a better conversation going on, because truly the fantasy realm is the only way any of us are going to enjoy ourselves right now. So let's just go be on call." I like how it wasn't even like, "I don't know, we could drink, we could play some board games." You guys are like, let's all sit in darkness in our rooms, because I think we can all agree that's better than talking to each other.
Well, I didn't want to start drinking because then we'd have to pee and we couldn't use the toilets because the water.
You know what you do with that, because that water shut up. You get yourself a gallon. It's really dark situation, but you get a bunch of possibly rainwater or gallons of water, and you kind of have to really ration out when you're. If it's like a shit, if it's piss, you could probably let it chill. And then you have to pour that water into the toilet and flush it.
I gotcha. So you got to measure out. You're like, "Oh, this feels like a 2-bucket shit right here. I need to go scoop up some more water."
Basically, when we moved into my mom's house, we had forgot to change the water over to her name. So we didn't have water for like 4 days. And it really, I had brought like water from Target, and I felt like some sort of like warlord where I was like, "I dictate who uses the bath. Listen, you need the shit. You come to me. I give you the water bottle. You go to the bath." We're not just wasting water bottles willy nilly. A shower? Get out of here, showers. Put in some Old Spice and you fucking get used to it. But yeah,
was your dad in that situation where he was like, "Listen, it's not being shut off by the government. It's being shut off by the people in the wall. Like, yeah. They own the water. They own us.
Yeah. Oh, I wish they were the government. The wall people. The government doesn't have shit on the wall people.
God, man. But yeah, so we're without power, right? We're just trying to get through. We tried sleeping. That didn't even work. So then we...
You guys all woke up from your attempted sleep? When did you guys try to go to sleep, like 6 p.m.? Were you guys so done with each other?
No, worse. It was like 1 p.m. Everyone went to bed. God. And then we all got out of bed at like 3 p.m. And we were like, well, we're just staring at each other. And I was like, maybe all died.
That's
like,
weird.
Maybe like there was a gas leak in the house. We all died. And that's such a bizarre.
Why didn't you guys just stay in your bedrooms and be like, I guess I'll still try to sleep because it's 2 p.m.? Like, what the? I mean, 2 a.m.
Because you're just sitting there in the dark and you're like, man, because you can't, there's nothing to like distract, there's nothing going on.
Yeah.
You know, without power, there's no, my phone's dead, TV's gone. It's just pure quiet insanity. It's like a padded cell, you know, but Jesus. Just with other people who don't really want to be there. So it was just staring at each other. And then we started playing Yahtzee. And then the power went back on, and how quick the game was like we didn't continue and see who won. As soon as the power went on, we're like, well, okay, everyone let's just go back to business as usual and turn on something that we can all make fun of.
Nice. You guys immediately just ran to the Netflix screen like it was home base. Yes. You're like, sweet, now no one has to talk to each other. Everyone on Twitter, everyone bury your face in a screen until further notice. This is done. This was a gross,
we might have been like right on the verge of a breakthrough. You know, someone was about to open up and actually.
Right. Yeah. You and your dad would have ended the podcast.
Yeah. We were probably.
I love you, dad. Really fuck you, dad. Close. We were this close to you fixing everything.
Thank God the power went back on.
Yeah. Thank God.
Patreon going.
Yeah. So, yeah. Get the. Oh man! Well,
and then once the power got back on, I actually just showed my dad Rubet, that gambling site.
Oh yeah,
crypto casino.
Absolutely.
And he has not stopped playing.
Yeah, it's a problem.
He's won $1,000, and he like jokes around a lot because he's like, I'm not going to be on this thing. This thing's stupid.
No, he lost.
No, he hasn't lost it yet. He's doing well.
Damn.
But he's like, he's full on. I feel bad. It's like when you show like a 13-year-old kid pot, and then 2 weeks later they're like selling you coke, and you're like, man, I've ruined. I fucked up.
Yeah, no, that's honestly how I felt with the site, because I was trying to. I lost some money. I won some money. I lost some money. I'm staying away.
Yeah.
It's too. I've never seen so much money go so quickly. So I'm like, I can't. This is literally poison in my life. But the problem is that shit in like sports bet apps, they send emails with like deals, which that's the difference with like, you know, crack or something. Like, you're never going to get an email that's like, I can get an 8-ball for half the price this Saturday. And you're like, you're like, you enter the promo code and you can get a free rock. And you're like, oh, awesome. But this stuff's like, yeah, you and your friends can all gamble. Like, oh, let me text my friend this promo code real quick. I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, I'm like, you try to quit and you just get a notification. You're like, well, it's literally free right now. And you're like, well, man, come on. What am I supposed to do?
Gambling is one of the worst addictions, because it's not like where, like drugs, like you pay for the drug and then you get high. But this is like you pay for the entertainment and you could get rich.
Yeah, so it's like, what it is the hope. Ending, you know? It's the hope that gets you. Because in my head, I'm like, hope. I am truly one win away from it being over. From the job being over, from misery, from people say money doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter if you make like $100,000 a year. You make under that, money matters. A substantial money is arguably the only thing that does matter at below that amount. So like, you know, literally
about to be a Ben like, Shapiro pod. Right
yeah. Now. Well, I know. I'm just saying, man, in your head, you're just sort of like, fuck, all I have to do is win. And then you get a little taste. I won like $300 in the Super Bowl. And I was like, well, this is just investing. This is just a smart financial decision. And then you lose $80 in 20 minutes. And you're like, actually, I think I never need to touch this ever again. before my savings.
No, you turn into, that's the thing. When you win, you're like, I might be the smartest man on earth. And yeah. Then you lose and you're like, nope, I'm a fucking idiot.
Yeah, I'm quite positive. You're like, I literally have never fucked up that hard so quickly. I like a big night out. Yeah. You're like, I spent too much money. No one's ever been like clicking a button and just lost eight, like on this site. I've like just lost $80. And you're like, oh, okay. Well,
yeah.
All right. So,
but I woke up at like 4 a.m. to pee and I come out to the living room and he's there and just the light of the laptop, like it's totally dark, just the laptop. And I'm like, Dad. And he's like, hey. I was like, what you do? And he's like, crazy time. And I was like,
so your dad's in the dark.
I just like took a deep breath.
You gave your dad a heroin needle. Like it's in the dark.
Yeah.
Because that's like a dark, that's not like a fun, that's like, yeah, but there's people that can afford to ruin their lives. There's fully. I'm just saying, enjoy the house because it's the last time you're going to be in a house with him, and not he's going to be moving into your house real quick, moving into your apartment because
he'll move in a tent in Austin, Texas.
Yeah, Jesus Christ, man. Well, I have a story today about when my dad met his personal hero. Which is,
oh wow,
Noam Chomsky. He's like this big author. He's like this big like leftist, oh, like anarchist.
I know Noam Chomsky.
Everyone knows the gnome. The gnome's a standard guy. And so my dad basically based a lot of his identity in like reading. No, basically this is my whole dad's ethos. He's like, no, I can't be a bad person because I like Noam Chomsky. It's like, sure, I kind of abandoned my children. But I thought the Iraq war was bad. So I'm a good person.
Don't you understand, Kenyon? I abandoned you for the people. People wanted to abandon you.
So my dad, and again, he used
power to the people to leave their kids with nothing. That's why the people need all the power.
Yeah, I need to be liberated from my family. I mean, that's truly what... The oppression,
that's the real taxation. Kid wanting a diaper every day. What the hell is that?
Yeah, get the boot of the dictatorship of my wife off my neck. and so I mean, and he's already, he would play the fucking like Howard Zinn and like Noam Chomsky like in the car instead of albums. He would blast that, and it would be them talking about like U.S. policy. Yeah. Like he's in it, right? And so in third grade, he took me and my brother out of school to go see him at UNC Chapel Hill. And he's like giving a lecture or whatever. They get to the end of it. My dad goes up to like ask him a question. And another side note about my dad likes a book that's like, it's basically called like, there is no like competition sucks. And basically the ethos is that all competition is bad. Sports are bad. And my dad likes it because he hates his dad who likes sports essentially. I mean, if we're like talking about the honest reason he likes that book is because he's like, well, my dad likes sports. My dad was never proud of me. Fuck sports. Fuck my dad. Right. And then, and then one of the people that read something in the back was like, Noam Chomsky said something nice about the book. So he's like, going to go ask. No, he asked Noam, his personal hero, about the book. And he's like, yeah, on the back of this book, you basically said it was a great book, but then later I heard you say positive things about competition. And the gnome just gave a very reasonable response. He's like, yeah, well, I think at a sports game, like when they're being so, when the parents are so intense that they're like throwing stuff at the referee, you know, that's bad, but like I don't see anything wrong with like two friends playing tennis. And then my dad just goes, so you're a liar. You admit you're a liar.
He said,
so you admit you're a liar. And then Noam Chomsky's like, what the fuck's going on? And again, this is a man. He's read all of his books. He's obsessed with it. This is the first time he met him. Within 20 seconds, he's like shitting on him because he doesn't live up to this extreme thing that, quite frankly, no reasonable person would ever agree with. And I was so surprised. He was like, yeah, this is a guy might. It would be like if your dad basically beat up Santa Claus. Like it was just sort of like who this guy talks about all the time. He just went up, he's like, so you're a fucking liar. And then he just looked there so confused. There's like a line of people behind him, and then he's just like, well, it's a disappointment. And then I walk away. I was like, Dad, why'd you do this? He's like, you gotta call people out. You gotta call people out. He left the thing on the book. Why wouldn't he do that? So it's just, again, you meet your hero. You essentially call him a liar.
Yeah. Oh my God. And I love the fact that the second that Gnome like wasn't like, oh, competition's awful, your dad is just like, oh, you're just like my dad. Yeah, you liar. You liar. You betrayed me.
Yeah.
And And to see, like, you guys like listen to him in the car, right? So you were, must have been like, oh, this is cool. We're seeing Noam Chomsky.
Yeah, we're seeing the guy from the tapes.
Yeah.
And he's like, you're a fucking loser. And I was like, okay, well, who do you base your identity around now? Who's the guy? Because you need a new guy. You just called your hero a loser. So and a liar. So I don't know what to do from here.
And if you do that to the person, the only person that you respect, what do you feel about me?
Yeah, serious. You know? Yeah, this is the guy who's like book you read. The second he disagreed with you, he's a piece of shit. So everybody else doesn't stand a chance. If your hero could be desecrated in 30 seconds, you better look out, marriage, because, I mean, you know.
But to be fair, that must have knocked Noam down a peg.
Oh, yeah. He looked very confused. Out. He was like, what?
Yeah.
Because he just gave a reasonable answer. But he was like, what is this fireside interview? What horrible podcast or news network is this from? So David Adamczyk Tuesday Report. So you admit you're a liar? And he just walks away.
Oh, we need your dad to be
Alex Jones. To be Alex Jones. Yes. Yeah. We need my dad to be Alex. My dad could out-crazy Alex Jones. Yeah, we put some just tinfoil behind him, have like a world on fire, and call it like David Doomsday Report. Hello, everybody. Doesn't even have him like talking to a shoe.
No, it should be him in a short sleeve collared shirt and a tie that's way too small, and it just screaming his head off.
Yeah, I think
that's a huge hit.
That's quality entertainment.
Oh my God, that's so funny.
Yeah, and another thing he did recently is apparently my brother, so I brought up previously as an alcoholic roommate named Chris, who's also, I can't tell what his age range is because he's desecrated his body so bad, but I think somewhere in the early 50s. And my brother asked him kind of playfully, he's like, so who do you think would win in a fight, like you or Chris? And then my dad just went, I'd give Chris what he deserves. Which
that's
is such an ominous, like, what are you gonna do, stab him in the fucking kitchen? Like, what is this? Such a like gangster answer. And then when my brother's like, what, why do you think, he's like, I can beat the shit out of him. And he's like, I know, because we wrestle sometimes, which is super weird for like two male roommates in their 50s. Male roommates in their, it's like, if you guys wrestle sometimes, then this is, you guys are gonna tell me, so you're gonna awkwardly have matching cardigans later, and you're gonna be like, Chris's tender touch is the only love I've ever known. Like, he's gonna come out.
And I can't,
we're wrestling and something suddenly right happened, and now we're in love, Kenyon. That's all you need to understand.
Yeah.
He pinned me in a way that I didn't want to get out of. Let's just say that.
I thought he was a liar at first until I was lying on top of him. And then it turns out now we're together. And that poor Nigerian car salesman.
Yeah, was probably just packing up his things.
I can't imagine. He's the referee.
Yeah,
in the middle of the two.
Yeah. Oh, my God. America's terrible. I moved there a week later, and these two roommates I have are just fucking each other on the floor.
One's always drunk. One's always yelling.
Yeah. Oh, my God, man. Yeah, it's just I can't imagine.
He deserves.
Yeah, I was just like, what kind of ominous? I was like, what? Literally a supervillain answer. That's not like, oh, I'd kick his ass. You're like, no, I'd give what he deserves. I'd make
it's like a George W. Bush after 9/11 answer.
Yeah,
we're
yeah.
We're gonna go over there and we're gonna give him what they deserve.
It was like, what?
I'm gonna stab him and make him. What are you gonna? What are you gonna? Yeah, you're gonna
waterboard your fucking roommate. What in the fuck are you talking about?
I'm gonna get the answers out of him, Kenny.
Yeah.
I'm gonna find out where he keeps his gold, Irish fuck. And you're like, what are you talking about? He just drinks Irish whiskey.
Where was the last spice of my pizza? Where's the last spice, Chris? He's like electrocuting his nipples. Oh my God.
Oh, that's wild. So both of our dads aren't really in a great spot. My dad is deep in a
your dad's probably about to become roommates with my new dad after he kills his former roommate, and your dad loses his wife and his house from Rubet, and then you and my dad are probably doing Postmates together. Let's just say 6 months from now.
And oh, that'd be so good for the pod.
Can it would imagine? Be prime for the pod if your dad yeah. had a gambling addiction. Here's the funny thing though, the level of gambling fuck ups your dad would have to do to meet my dad at his place of life, like it literally, we're talking literally losing like $1 million. I mean, that's like a Tower of Terror fall from wealth to like go yeah. down to like I need to have a house made in Durham for like $400 a month.
Like that would be yeah. Pretty funny though, of all the things that I've like done.
Yeah, you know, yeah, it would be pretty fun. It would be like a real like Nick slipped on a banana and got his dad addicted to gambling and destroyed his family.
yeah, exactly. Hey guys, you just listened to another episode of Fuck You Dad. If you could follow us on our Instagram, which is FCKYOUDAD podcast. That's the important one. We also have a Twitter account, which is FCKYOUDADPODCA1. If you could follow that. Also, please submit any father stories that you have that you'd like us to make fun of, laugh at, or share. Shoot that to our Instagram DMs. And if you could please go ahead and rate the podcast, share the podcast with your friends and family that might enjoy it. And keep listening. Thank you so much.